Hey, what up, everybody? This is your host, Ryan Sketch, here at Sketchbook Audio. Thanks for tuning in on this beautiful, beautiful January day in 2020. Can you believe it? We're at 2020, where Barbara Walters was always predicting. I think it was bound to happen anyways, but thank you, Barbara, for being so optimistic about 2020. I've got a pretty good show here today. I got a lot to talk about. It's actually going to be in two parts, so there's the intro, where I'm going to kind of talk about what Sketchbook Audio is for those who are just tuning in for the first time. Also kind of tell them how I lay everything out between the Instagram live feed as well as on the Anchor app. So we're going to talk a lot about that. And then I have the second segment is going to be a deep dive into all of the different topics, including the Bronco, the Kia Seltos, color, the Corvette C8, and the big SUVs coming from General Motors that just launched within the past week. So it's going to be a really good episode. I hope you'll stay tuned and listen. In the background, you can hear Drake with a little "Just Hold On, We're Coming Home." And that's what I'm doing here. I'm coming back home to my podcast where I feel more at home. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of this show, because you're the motivation that's kept me going on this. And I promise to bring you guys really good media coverage on things like the automotive shows that are coming up here. We're an automotive auto show season right now, so we've got a big lineup of things going on, as well as, you know, just hot topics that are coming out, new designs, new concepts, new tie-ins with fashion, video games, so on and so forth. Hey, did you know Tesla made a truck that kind of appeals to cyberpunk people? If you didn't know, now you do know, and it's awesome. Ish, not really, but that's just me. It's totally subjective. That's what art is. It's subjective. So I have my opinion, you have your opinion. It's all good, it's all beautiful. So stay tuned for Sketchbook Audio. I've got a good show coming up for you guys. Stay tuned. Hey, what up, everybody? This is your host, Ryan Sketch, here with Sketchbook Audio. It's been a while, right? I gotta apologize. I haven't been podcasting enough, and there's a couple problems with that. One is I feel like I'm leaving out a part of me that I could share with the world. And two, I'm not sharing with the world my knowledge, and I have so much in this brain that I need to share with a lot of y'all. And the other part, and that's selfish of me. Wait, the best way to live life is to share and pass on knowledge to the next generation, friends, family, whoever, even the older generation. I'm teaching my mom how to use her iPhone 11 X 50, whatever, Ultimate. And it gives me great pleasure to help my mom learn how to use her phone, her computer, and her tablets. I say tablets because she has like five. She gets one from work. She likes it. So she goes and gets one that's not nannied by work. And she gets a personal one. And then she says, "Oh, I don't like this one. It doesn't have this, that, or the other." So she calls me and says, "Hey, what's the best laptop or tablet I should get to do this?" And I tell her, "Well, your phone." It's horrible. And she still doesn't know how to use her phone perfectly well. Anyways, this is Emerosa in the background playing Cautious. And it's kind of a mentality that I've been going about recently. And while this is cautious in relationships, I'm perfectly happy with mine. I have a lovely wife now. As of October 5th, I am no longer simply Mr. Sketch, I am, or you know, whatever you wanted to call me before, I am her Mr. Sketch or something like, I don't freaking know. It doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is I got a ring on it. She put a ring on it. Somebody put a ring on something. So anyways, if you're new to this whole thing, here's what Sketchbook Audio is all about. One, I'm an automotive designer. I'm also just a creative mind, a creative thing. I draw, I do stuff in Photoshop, I do stuff in Adobe After Effects. It's been a while, but 3D model, clay sculpt, a lot of different things. And I want to impart that knowledge onto other people. So Sketchbook Audio, though I kind of formed it around automotive design, I try to incorporate as much different kind of design as possible, fashion design. I'm real big into shoes lately, thanks to my buddy Zach Sroka. I hope you're listening because you owe me a bunch of pictures of shoes. Yeah. So shoes, architecture, automotive design, occasionally interior design of homes and stuff. Just anything that can help make your design and my designs better. You can't just stay with one thing, basically. You have to get inspiration from things. In fact, looking out my window right now, you can see where some of my inspiration comes from. I mean, it's a hill. Yes, I understand that. But it's a beautiful hill. It's got flowers. It's got hummingbirds. Occasionally, a large cat comes through the back. Don't know if it's domestic or not. Fact of the matter is, there's things going on there. In fact, I found a dead rat outside on my porch the other day. It kind of freaked me out. But anyways, so Sketchbook Audio is about incorporating every kind of element of design and all different inspirations into one platform so that I can better you guys at doing what you love to do, maybe inspire you. Another thing that I like to do is I go to a lot of car shows, not just the little local ones. Out here in SoCal, there are plenty, and they are so awesome. There's so many McLarens, Ferraris, Lamborghinis, Porsches, exotics everywhere. You name it, they've got it. I've seen Bentleys. In fact, I saw a Bentley Bentayga the other day. That was pretty cool. I also saw a Rolls-Royce Cullinan. Never thought I'd see one of those on the road, but I did, and it was cool. I just felt small in the world. I mean, my $30,000 crossover next to a $300,000+ SUV crossover, whatever you want to call it, it just felt a little less. But I still love my car. There's a funny story behind that too, because yesterday I gave in to the lesser half of me. And not my wife. She's the better half of me. I gave in to the lesser half of me, my soul, my need to have fancy things and new things. And I almost bought a Wrangler yesterday. It's been my dream car for a very long time, probably since my dad started working at FCA back in 98. So it's been 20 years. And so since I was 18. And ever since, I'm going to get one day. Just wait and see. What I like to do a lot of times is go through some of the things that are happening in the world as far as the automotive world and talk about those things. So if there's if there's an auto show that I can't get to, Geneva, Tokyo, Auto Saloon, stuff like that, I like to bring those up. And then if there's just anything else crazy going on in the world that I think you guys got to know about, I want to find those things and tell you all about it. The other nice thing about doing this podcast as well as a live cast on Instagram is I can show you guys pictures of what I'm talking about, not just talk about them. Pictures are worth 1,000 words. So after the show, you will get to see on my Sketchbook_Audio Instagram page, the page you were presently watching this live cast from, you will get to see a lot of the pictures of the vehicles that I'm referring to, or even some of the architecture or some of the nature that I've been going out to try and get some inspiration. Yesterday, I actually went out to Escondido. If you're from the California area, and you probably have heard of Escondido. If you're not, and you're from Michigan, where I'm from, Escondido is this beautiful little area surrounded by mountains and kind of close to the ocean, but kind of not. And relative to Michigan, which is very, very far away from any oceans. But in California, it's pushed away from the ocean quite a bit. Unlike San Diego and Los Angeles, which are right on the ocean, Escondido's more in the mountains. And I did some hiking up there. And a couple things that stood out to me as I was walking through this beautiful landscape
were a lot of the trees, a lot of the plants, a lot of the foliage that looks dead, may be dead, may not be dead, who knows? But it's really interesting. In fact, let me go, I brought a sample. Hold on. Now I actually have two samples here of things that really caught my eye when I was on this little excursion. One is this really interesting piece of wood. It's dry, it's dead, it's tiny, but you can see just how crazy nature is. You have everything from these circles or ovoid shapes that follow a line, but they also spiral. There's just a pattern to this that is beautiful. It's not accidental. It's not by chance. This is created in some way, shape, or form with a plan. And now I'm not going to try to get all biblical on you guys. It is Sunday though. And I believe that there is a artist in the works making this kind of stuff. Whatever you believe, that's fine. But I think it's beautiful no matter how you look at it, whether it's from a Muslim perspective, a Jewish perspective, a Christian perspective, an atheist perspective, however you want to view it, I think it's still beautiful because you still ultimately get this. Whoops. You still ultimately get this and call it driftwood, call it whatever you want. Maybe somebody on here is a bit more into this kind of shrubbery and could tell me exactly what that is. That would be awesome. Now, the other piece that I found was this. Now, it's kind of hard to tell. You might think this is a rock. It is not. This is actually charred wood from a fire that recently happened in California. You've probably seen it on the news. A lot of forest fires in California, and they happen relatively frequently, but this one was a particularly big one. And I was up in LA near one of the fires after they had mostly put it out, and I got a piece of this. And a couple things about this is, one, there's a beautiful gold kind of tint to it. I don't know if you can see it. So that's actually what caught my eye originally. And at first I did think this was a rock. And where I found this was not in a charred area. This was actually found in a very lush area. But what had happened is this had exploded from somewhere, and I mean, this is super light. This is lighter than a piece of paper, which is really cool. So that's one cool thing. The other thing is the forms in this, those ridges. I don't know if you can see them. It's not light enough here in my room. Oh, there we go. Some of these ridges are just super cool. And the other thing that I really caught my eye about this was this is what we use essentially to draw with. Now I could take this, I could refine it a little bit and make a drawing utensil out of this. And I could probably get some pretty cool, just simple brush strokes, essentially, gesture drawings as they are called. But that's what this is. Now, a lot of times for charcoal, they use bamboo, but this looks like it could work out pretty well. Just the overall black of this, it's a very interesting black. It's got a lot of reflection of light, different colors. And I mean, you can't tell what the original wood color was, but overall, it's an interesting object. And it's a huge shame what's happening in California, what's happening in Australia. I hope, you know, if you're listening to this, do your part and donate to Australia, to the efforts. I can't stand seeing these videos and these images of these koalas in freaking casts and their bodies wrapped up. It just brings me to tears. I've supported a couple efforts. Actually, playing Call of Duty, there is a way to, if you purchase one of their map packages or bonus kits, whatever it's called, all that money, 100% of the proceeds go to helping Australia. So that's pretty cool. It's a relief. I think it's called the Relief Bundle or Outback Relief. Yeah, that's what it's called, Outback Relief Bundle. So anyways, back to the rest of the point of this show. If you're new to this, this is just a platform for you to learn about what's out there, what's happening in our world automotively, architecturally, even shoe fashion. And then just hear me blab on about stuff. You also get to hear some pretty good music at the start of each show. And if you have any requests, by all means, go ahead and tell me and I will get those loaded. Generally, my episodes are 30 to 45 minutes. Sometimes I go to an hour, but very rarely, unless there's an auto show or something happening. But I try to get you guys a start, a middle, and an end. Today, I'm kind of combining it all together just to let you know that I am back. And this is thanks to a good friend of mine who just VA Karam Ports. I can't pronounce it. It's sideways, so forgive me. But hi, thank you for tuning in. This is Sketchbook Audio. You're going to learn so much about automotive design today. It's going to blow your mind. So let's get to it. Why don't we, right? What's happening in the world right now? One of the big things that's happened in this world, and it's kind of taking this, the country, the United States, by storm, is the new Corvette C8. Now, I know it's been shown for a little while. I did get a chance to see and sit in it at the Los Angeles Auto Show not too long ago. That was in November. And I got to say, a lot of people complain about certain cars taking turns for the worst or shifting their design language to something that it never really should have. For instance, the Mustang Mach-E. No matter how much they justify the correlation between a Mustang car and this Mustang crossover, Ford, don't take my advice ever, but I would have called it the Fusion X, anything else, anything but the Mustang E. Why? Because you have all of these enthusiasts who look at something like that, look at the company as a whole and wonder what in God's name were you thinking? Now, the brighter side of this all is, I think it's a beautiful design. I think it's elegant. I think it's sporty. I think it's aggressive. I think it makes the Tesla Model X and Model Y look a little boring. They're two different sides of the same coin, which is an electric vehicle that's just practical. Both vehicles, the Model X and the Mustang Mach-E, are practical vehicles. They have a lot of interior space. They would, in theory, be very safe. And, you know, with all the different safety features that they have, adaptive cruise control, level 3 autonomy, I believe, backup cameras, backup sensors, front sensors, the ability to parallel park and pull into a perpendicular parking spot all by itself, the ability to pull out of a parking spot, maybe even come to where you're at. The Teslas do that right now. There's so many things that make these vehicles very good in their respective department. So it's not to put the Mustang Mach-E down at all. I just think the name is probably not befitting of the type of vehicle that it is. Now, it is, especially in the GT form, it is a very aggressive crossover. It is very low to the ground. It's got a very long hood like a Mustang does. And it, of course, has the Mustang taillights. So they did a good job, I guess, of blending what a sports coupe looks like and a crossover coupe looks like. And a Mercedes and BMW were the first ones to really do that with the X4, the X6 from BMW, and the Mercedes has the GLC, the GLE, and the GLA. All very interesting forms, but they don't claim to be something they're not. Well, no, that's false. They definitely claim to be something they're not, and that's a coupe. Coupe means two. As far as I'm concerned, I don't speak French, which I should because a lot of my listeners are from France. But coupe that we've always known has always been two. Two doors, basically a sports car. Now, whether you define sports car as an Aston Martin Lagonda, or I'm sorry, an Aston Martin Vantage, Vanquish, Vision, any of those, or sports car as in like the Corvette or a Viper, define it how you will. Or even the Fiat 124. I call that a sports car. People call the Miata a sports car, so why not? However you want to call it, two doors, coupe or coupe, if you're that guy from The Great Gatsby, the Ford, you know, coupe. I just don't want to call these cars grand coupes, you know. And the way they justify it is it's got a very long sloping silhouette that gives you the impression of a two-door sports car, but yet throwing in the extra two doors to make it a more practical vehicle, fine. It's the same argument Ford is using for justifying it, calling it a Mustang, because it looks like a Mustang a little bit and it performs like a Mustang. Now, to that point, let me say this. Hogwash. All electric cars, for the most part, perform like a Mustang does with a V8. Instant torque, 0 to 60 in anywhere from 3 seconds to 6 or 7 seconds, which is pretty good. Once you start hitting 9, 10, 11, nobody cares anymore. But when you're in that sub 6 to, well, some cars do 2.3 seconds to whatever, then you can start talking about the real kind of performance. But all electric cars, with the exception of a couple that were purposely dumbed down to not do 0 to 60 in some blazing speeds, pretty much can do what a Mustang can do. And it's instantaneous torque. There's no lag from turbos, from superchargers, or anything like that. It is just, boom, you're gone. Now, it doesn't necessarily hold. Some electric cars will govern how much torque and how much energy is given to a 0 to 60 performance. That way you can get better fuel economy and you don't kill your battery in just one drag race. So you have all of these other forms that a crossover takes and a sports car takes. And right now we're kind of in that meshing period where we're going to start to see a bunch of crazy forms, and for better or for worse. A lot of people don't like what the direction that Ford took with this Mustang. Some people don't like the direction that the Gladiator took, just taking a Jeep Wrangler and throwing on a truck bed. To each their own, right? But I think some at least maintain their heritage better than others. And, you know, so we push on. Anyways, the Corvette C8. This was my original point. The Corvette C8, I think, does a phenomenal job of maintaining the heritage and the culture and the enthusiasm and passion that a Corvette has always imbued. It's just raw passion and power and American muscle. So kudos to Corvette and the Chevy team. Sorry, Chevy and the Corvette team for creating a car that is a really hardcore competitor to Ferraris and Lamborghinis, but doing it on the cheap. You can get one of these for under 60 grand. That's nuts. Now, the trade-off is a lot of those higher-end luxury cars, those exotics, use exotic materials. Chevy managed to keep the price down by only using a bit of aluminum, lots of plastic, and still high strength steel. There's almost, with the exception of some accent pieces on the inside, there's, and I think maybe the chin splitter, there's no carbon fiber. How else are you going to get a car that should cost roughly $110,000 down to $60,000? You just don't use the exotic materials, but you give it the exotic form and shape, the mid-edge and shape that an exotic car would have. So I can't say this enough. Great job, Chevy. The interior of that car was amazing. It was comfortable. It was sporty. It was elegant. It was everything anybody could ever dream of having in a car like that. So, sorry, I'm adjusting my camera. Hey, I got 8 minutes in this segment. We're going to do another segment today because I just feel like it needs to happen. What else do we got? Oh, here's an interesting one that I would love to get people's opinions on because it's a bit controversial and it's very intriguing because we don't know anything about it. But General Motors has decided to bring back the Hummer name, not the Hummer brand, but the name. what does that even mean? Are they going to have a GMC Sierra Hummer version or Hummer edition? What are they going to do? Either way, this begs a lot of questions. Is it going to maintain the original aesthetic and cues that a Hummer had, which, by the way, are very similar to Jeep? And rightfully so. They were owned by the same company, AMC Motors. So it is what it is. But they're also saying that they want this to be kind of like their halo for green. Okay. That was my biggest complaint about a Hummer in the first place. You get 8 miles to the gallon. And it has a massive gallon, so its carbon footprint is go-bam. It's as big as the vehicle itself. It's insane. So I'm all for this. This sounds great. We can still have these big, ostentatious vehicles, but be super, super green about it. Okay. I don't think it's going to be a fad. It's going to be one of those trends that doesn't last very long, I would imagine. And I don't see Chevy taking this, or GM in, as a whole, taking this in a very rounded form. You know, I still feel this being a very boxy form. And now there are several Hummer concepts that have happened in the past 10 years that are really cool and would be great platforms for a hybrid or all electric vehicle. So this could get really interesting. Now I'm going to post a few of those pictures of those concepts up. In fact, one of those was from Transformers. If you'll remember the opening scene when they were going to China, there was the Hummer H1X, I think, or HX, I forget what it was called, but it was pretty badass nevertheless. So we'll take a look at that. You can check that out at sketchbook_audio, the same channel you're watching right now. And you can tell me what you think. The next up, which this is also a throwback to some great history, not just OJ Simpson's history, but just truck history, the Bronco. The Ford Bronco is finally taking shape. We have seen dozens of camouflaged vehicles that look very similar to a Ford Ranger that's been cut and squished to fit the proportions and the dimensions of what the true Bronco will be. But now we actually have what the silhouette is going to look like. And we have a good idea that it's probably going to have removable doors and absolutely going to have a removable roof. I don't see it having a fold-down windshield like the Wrangler does, but hey, neither did the FJ Cruiser. So that's going to be pretty cool. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more because there's some more details that I would like to get into. And I think it's all worth mentioning, especially from a design perspective, because let's face it, they're boxes on four wheels. It's two box form. So let's talk about that. But we're going to talk about that in the next segment. We're also going to talk about GMC and Chevy both launched their new full-size SUVs, the Yukon, and then the Tahoe and the Suburban. Now, I don't like big SUVs like that. I hate them. I think they're pointless from an environmentalist perspective. They are very utilitarian, but they have been so ugly that I just can't imagine why people want them. Now, there is the Escalade, which hasn't looked horrible in recent years. But again, do you really need something that big to take your kids back and forth to school that's like a mile down the street or even 10 miles down the street? You don't need it. But let's talk about these ones because I really do like them, particularly the GMC Yukon with the, I forget what it's called. Oh, the AT4 package, as well as the Chevy Yukon with, I'm sorry, the Chevy Tahoe with the Z71 package, their off-road package. It's pretty aggressive and it's pretty sweet. And I'm hoping Jeep can take some hints that their full-size SUVs that come out, the Wagoneer and the Grand Wagoneer, and then possibly the next generation Durango, need to take some pointers from Chevy because they're doing it right. They don't, that's one thing Chevy kind of has GM has a really good grasp on is they have so many different brands that do the same thing, but they're able to differentiate them enough that I hope, and not just from each other, differentiate themselves from each other, but differentiate the different trims. And Chevy, the Silverado is doing a really good job with that, and now the Tahoe and the Suburban are doing great jobs with that, with each of their different trim levels. Also, I wanted to talk about the Kia Seltos. Now, I went to Kia's headquarters not too long ago, and it was phenomenal. That headquarters is great. I got to meet the guy who designed the Kia Soul. He also designed the Seltos, and I believe the Telluride, or at least he had something to do with the Seltos. I can't remember the exact story, but I want to talk about that because it's a great little car, and I think people are really going to dig it once it comes to market. Another thing I want to talk about is color, just color in general of cars. I had a revelation yesterday when I was at a Jeep dealership, and I saw something that just really depressed me. And I don't want to talk about that because there's a lot of conversation that can happen about different color interiors, different color exteriors. And I want to discuss that because it'll be good. It'll be fun. And then hopefully it can strike up some conversation, some messages I get here on Instagram or on my sketchbook podcast, which I will tell you how to reach me through that because it's pretty simple. And your messages can go, it's a sound message. So it's like a voice message that I can play on this podcast. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about those things that I just mentioned and then maybe talk about some shoes because my buddy Zach showed me some pretty cool shoes and Nike. Oh, I got something to talk about regards to Nike. So stay tuned. Ready for this? I bet you'd be ready for this.
I can swallow a bottle of alcohol and I'm feeling Godzilla. Better hit the deck like the Cartilla. My whole squad's in here walking around the party. A cross between a zombie, apocalypse, and Bobby. The brain union, which is probably the same reason I wrestle with Mania Shady's in his bitch. I'm posse up. Consider it to cross me up. Cross me
okay.
Up thick if they sleep in.
I feel it.
Better get insomnia, ADHD, hydroxycut. That's the capacity.
All right. Okay. So that's Juice WRLD. I'm going to be quite honest. I'm not a huge fan of modern rap. It's just been a huge turnoff. And Eminem has done a good job of mixing his old school style with the, you know, what is popular today. And I applaud him for that. He's a Michigan guy. So, hey, attaboy, we like your music. Keep dropping it. And I like the fact that he dropped this secretly. He just... One day, poof, new album. He did that recently with Kamikaze, poof, new album. And where you been? The only thing he had done was say anything negative about Trump, which, and then, you know, you shit on Trump and then you just disappeared. I respect him for that because he just pops it. He just, boom, Eminem, and then disappears. But that's a different kind of art. It's a different kind of industry. And it's very, very volatile. So, but I'm looking forward to listening to that whole album. It is Music to be Murdered by Eminem. And that song was called Godzilla featuring Juice WRLD. It's the Juice WRLD that I'm not really down with. So anyways, that is what it is. Moving on, we need to talk about the Bronco. Now the Ford Bronco is a car that's been out for a very long time. It's very popular SUV, true SUV that people love to buy, and they love to buy them now because they're cheap, but they're very capable off-road. It doesn't take much. You don't have to throw in too much money to make these things very capable on boulders, through waterways, just off the beaten path. It doesn't take a lot. So Ford is hoping to bring back some of that with two Broncos, we think. One has been dubbed the Baby Bronco, and the other one, of course, is just Bronco. Now, we don't know if one's going to be called the Bronco 1 and the other one's going to be called the Bronco 2. Who knows? If you go back and do some history on both of those, let's do that. You will see that the Bronco 1 was super, super simple. It was two doors with a removable roof that kind of gave you a truck bed in the back, very similar to a two-door Wrangler where, you know, if you put those back seats down, you could have essentially a truck bed. But it gave you that form
of a one or of a two-door SUV, kind of like the Evoque was, except the Evoque didn't have a removable roof. So maybe even like the Defender or the old FJs. But Ford did it, and Ford did a pretty good job with it. People loved this vehicle. And then, so the first Bronco was from 1966 to 1977. So 11-year run, which is essentially two product life cycles, two generational life cycles. And the what changed really were the headlights. But then they had the Bronco 2. Bronco 2 came out in 1984 to 1990. So a much truncated lifespan, but it's improved upon what was already there from the Bronco 1. Now it kind of unified some things. I don't know if it gave you a removable roof, but it still kept the basic shape of it. And that is where people are really, you know, kind of on edge. Is Ford going to do that, or are they going to do what they did with the Mustang and turn it into a crossover? Are they going to turn a crossover, a luxury car, mind you? Are they going to take this classic Bronco name and do what Chevy did to the Blazer, which the Blazer was a very similar vehicle to the Bronco, was also a very capable vehicle and a little bit larger, I believe. And they had two different versions. They had a two-door and then they had a larger one. And depending on which year you come from, or you discuss, they could be two very different vehicles, but still more akin to what the Bronco was than what the new Blazer is. And people bash the new Blazer all the time, saying that it's nothing like the original. And rightfully so. You can't take a new Blazer off-road. You shouldn't take a new Blazer off-road. Who do we got? Lugard Williams. Hey, thank you for joining. Oh, also, Jamie Casey, thank you for joining. This is Sketchbook Audio. We are talking about the Ford Bronco and what we are expecting to see when this new one comes out. Now, as I've mentioned before, there have been camouflage models driving around, particularly in the streets of Detroit, as well as out here in the desert where they are doing some testing in probably like the Mojave Desert, the Anza Borrego Desert, amongst a few other ones, maybe out near Vegas. And that's for hot weather testing, and then just endurance, going through sand, going off-road and such. But the new Bronco has a lot of potential to be just as badass, and Ford promises that it's going to be just as badass as the original. One of the key features that I love that they've been so adamant about saying is true is a manual shifter. The only other SUV that exists in the United States that offers a manual transmission, and I mean true SUV, there's probably a couple little ones that do, like the Compass and the Renegade did. I think they got rid of it for the Renegade for sure. And then the sport model Compass, you can still get in. But I mean like a true SUV. The Bronco 2 is supposedly going to come as an option, a 7-speed manual transmission. Why 7? To keep the fuel economy at bay. But they're also going to offer it with the 10-speed automatic, more than likely. I doubt it's going to be the 9-speed. Ford has a 10-speed. They might as well use a 10-speed. And I believe that's what they use in the Ranger. And since one of the Broncos is built off of the Ranger, the next generation Ranger, it's only right to assume that that's that. Now, that's another good thing to talk about. It's built off of the Ranger, and the Ranger is built on a truck platform. It's a body on frame. Another big plus for Ford. Thank you for giving us an SUV that's not, it's a crossover between a truck and an SUV. Cool. It's not a crossover between a car and an SUV. Not cool in some cases. In this case, it would be horrible for Ford to do that. Now, the other Bronco, the baby Bronco, could in fact be built off of the EcoSport. Not great, not horrible. There's some potential there. Look what they did with the Renegade. The Renegade is very capable in Trailhawk form. The EcoSport doesn't have a form, a trim level quite like that, but it could. There's nothing saying that it couldn't. So maybe the EcoSport never actually gets that trim because it wants to maintain to the urban market. That's fine. Make sure the baby Bronco has a Trailhawk form. They have a Raptor platform, like a mindset that they could use, or they could do something that's like the FX4. I have a funny feeling we're going to get an FX4, at least Bronco. Now the baby Bronco, we'll see. There's no mention of any of this stuff yet. I can tell you one thing. The suspension is going to be off the hook on at least one model. So can't tell you anything more about that. If you know anything about me, you could probably do some deductive logic and come to your own conclusion, but I'm tied to non-disclosure agreements, so my lips are sealed. Anyways, moving on to the next subject, I wanted to talk about the Yukon from GMC, as well as the Chevy Tahoe and the Suburban. Now, I don't particularly love the massive grill that's on the Yukon. I don't really like big grills, with the exception of some Audis. The GMC Yukon's grill is just so in your face. Now, I guess to their benefit, it at least lets you know that this is in fact a GMC and not like a Dodge or something like that, or a Jeep. But it's just so big. There's so much real estate there that could have been used for something else. Different headlights, a nicer lower fascia, anything. And you just get this massive thing. But the AT4 model is pretty slick. I love the lower fascia, the part where it just says, hit me hard, hit me with something, because you actually have steel plates there, or at least a really thick aluminum skid plate with red tow hooks. So it's like they're borrowing a little bit of something from Jeep. You know, they also learned this on their Chevy Silverado. They gave you that kind of aggressive form on the Trail Boss. And then now they're sticking that into GMC to give you not only the luxury version on the Denali, but also this off-road capable AT4 model. Now, I mentioned something about how Chevy does a pretty good job of differentiating all of their trims, even though from the side, the silhouette of the GMC Yukon and the Chevy Tahoe and Suburban are identical. They're exactly the same. It's when you get to the front and a little bit of the rear where things start to take a different turn. Now, the rears on the previous generation and the previous generation before that, GMC and Chevy's were exactly the same. Their taillights were slightly different, but now GMC took it a step further and they're using the same taillight housing so that the sheet metal in the back doesn't change, but the sheet metal on the liftgate does change. So they were able to add an extension to their light. And so now you get that C form. It's a slightly truncated form of that C, but it still keeps it in line with the Acadia and the Terrain. So I think they've done enough with the vehicle to differentiate themselves from Chevy, but they have also done a good job of maintaining, you know, internally to GMC, the differentiation between the Denali, the luxury, and the AT4, the off-road capable. One thing that GMC just mentioned that was pretty cool, it's pretty useless, but it's pretty cool. It's a feature that it's called a tank turn. Basically, the car is here and it just turns on that same axis. Instead of doing like a donut where you're going around that central point is your axis. So they have this tank turn feature, which works very differently than what Rivian does. Rivian has four-wheel drive and four-wheel steering, from what I understand. And there are hub motors inside each wheel. So all four wheels can spin independently of one another or all together in unison, or there's a balance between front and rear, side to side. But they have an ability to turn sideways in a true tank turn without using their brakes to do that. GMC has to use their brakes in order to get that true tank turn. I guess this would be good to get out of a tight situation, but I would almost be terrified to do that in a parking lot if that's your tight situation. So we'll see how this plays out, see if this actually has any true real world purpose. But it's interesting nevertheless. I like that automakers are thinking of stuff like that, because the only automaker that actually thought about that but never actually did anything with it was Jeep. back in the early 2000s, there was a concept car that came out called the Hurricane. The Hurricane was penned by Ryan Nagodi, a friend of mine who works at FCA. He's been there. Shout out to Ryan right now because his Ram team just won yet another award. They've won so many. Best engine, the diesel, and the 3.6. I think even the Hemi has gotten awards, the 5.7. Just being the best freaking truck out there on the market. And now I think they won an award for most luxurious vehicle. What? A Ram truck? Not just a Ram, but a truck won that award? That's mind-blowing. So I don't know what the stipulations are on that, but who cares? That's a great award to win. And they keep winning awards. So good job, Ryan. What was they saying? I don't even remember. So we'll go back to this page. By the way, I get a lot of my information from autoblog.com, allpar.com, jalopnik.com, leftlanenews.com. And yeah, they're very helpful. So if you're a car designer and you want to get into that kind of stuff, those are the websites you should be checking out. Kia Seltos. The Kia Seltos is another crossover. I get it. It's just another vehicle in a segment that's probably way saturated, and it doesn't need to exist. Kia already has a bunch of SUVs and crossovers. They don't need another one. They beg to differ. I think the market shifts have, you know, they beg to differ. And Kia said, okay, we're going to take that and we're going to run with it. And they gave us a really freaking cool crossover. It's very weird. The front end is massive, and it's not just the grill is massive. It's the fact that the grill wraps into the headlights and has this lower grill. There's so much going on in the front, but they're so cool. There's such good details. And my favorite detail, and this is super minute, but it makes a huge difference when you're talking about design, especially when you're trying to attract people and convince them that this is a good vehicle to go with. It's the texture that's on the silver outline of that tiger face. If you zoom in, and I'm going to try to get as close of a picture as I can, and I don't see too many pictures on a lot of websites that actually show you that texture. Autoblog does have one picture. You can see this stippling on that grill face. You know, so we're talking about start from the center, go up, go around, come down, go, and then go up. So that's your tiger face. Sorry. Thanks for bearing with me on that one. The stippling on it, it's not just a graphic like a decal put on there. It's actually molded in. So huge shout out to Kia for doing something like that. And when I got to sit down and listen to the design team that created this, they put a lot of heart and passion into this. And Kia has been allowing their design departments to put their all into this and just take big risks. This, while a very minor risk to have taken, the car itself was a big risk. So good job, Kia. I think you made a really knockout vehicle with this. The only thing I wish is that it was offered in a stick shift. This would have been the perfect vehicle to offer with a stick shift. But it does have a pretty sweet interior. It's very Kia, especially right now. But it's kind of not Kia. It's not the old Kia anyways. This is Kia Telluride Kia. This is Kia Stinger Kia. This isn't their old junky scene at every rental car agency, Optima or Soul or anything like that. By the way, the new Soul has a pretty cool interior, but it's a very cheap plastic interior. Until you get up into the GT model, everything is just hard plastic. The Seltos said, okay, we're not going to do a leather stitch dash like a lot of car companies are doing and put all these fancy touches, but we are going to make everything at least feel nicer. So good job. And the price seems about right. It's going to be well under $23,000 to get a good package. But if you want to jump up to the nicest package, you're looking at probably $29,000, looks like $10. You get a 1.6 liter turbo, and I believe you get all-wheel drive as an option. So it's looking like a very promising vehicle. When I got some time to sit in it, now I didn't get to drive it, but I did get to sit in it. And I can tell you, it's just night and day from old Kia. So good job. And I'm looking forward to seeing this vehicle on the road, especially in this crazy bright yellow that actually Hyundai is also offering on the Sonata. You're not going to see too many of them in that color, but it exists. Now that brings me to my other point that I wanted to discuss before this episode ends. Color. My wife hates bright, ostentatious colors. She hates them. She likes grays, black, and occasionally red. She does not like blues, greens, anything. You will never see her in a vehicle of that kind of color. Same with my mom. The only vehicle color she will ever buy is white and occasionally silver. I've never seen her in another color. My dad, he's had vehicles of different colors. He had a dark green Ford Mustang Mach 1, and he had a bright red something or another. I can't remember what it was. And he had this ugly ass teal Ford Capri or Mercury Capri convertible. I remember that color was hideous. And then he's had a couple other cars, but like a dark brown, silvers, grays, blacks. He's gone over most of the spectrum, but you probably won't see him in a color similar to what this Seltos is offered in. He at least understands that the interior need not be all black. I don't think he's had an all black interior since his Chrysler Concorde LHS. And even then he told me, I wish there was some color in here. I wish there was some contrast. So when I went to this Jeep dealership the other day, I had the intentions of purchasing a Wrangler four-door with a tan soft top and the tan interior. You want to take a guess as to how many of those I saw with either of those options? Zero. None. And the dealer told me, it just doesn't seem like people want that, so we don't order them that way. It's probably true, so it's probably a good business case to not buy, you know, order vehicles with an interior that most people wouldn't buy. But then that isolates me, people like me. And here's one thing that he told me that I thought was really funny. I didn't tell him what my job title was, but he had said, it seems like the people who buy interiors like that, the different colored interiors or a different color roof on the Wrangler, for example, are artists. I mean, maybe he's a psychic. I don't know, but that's me. He was talking about me. I wanted those things. So why wasn't it on the lot? Why do I have to order a vehicle and then lose all of the discounts and the rebates they were offering just so I can get the interior I want? And I guess that's just life. I'm going to have to deal with it. Motorcidery Masseri, what's up, my dude? Thank you for tuning in. I'm actually honored that you're watching this. So hopefully it's enticing enough for you. Interior colors, I think, are really what separate an automotive company from just car makers. I haven't seen a lot of mainstream automakers do a lot of multicolored interiors. Ford actually had a really good interior on the Taurus show, and it was black with this really pretty gold. And actually, Cadillac did the same thing on their V performance packages. And I loved that interior. There was just enough gold and yellow and whatever that it set that whole black interior kind of ablaze. And it was nice. But then every other vehicle is all black interior. My RAV4, one of the things I like about it, and it was that one little thing that I was willing to negotiate with, is I took the black interior and didn't wait for them to order one with the gray interior because it had orange splashes everywhere, and then it had orange stitching, and then there was a lot of silver trim. So to me, it felt like at least Toyota was thinking about color, even though they were trying to keep that mostly black interior. That's fine. They did a really good job of adding color splashes. I just wish more automakers would do that. The Chargers and Challengers, I rarely see with like the red interior or that tan interior. And those are really nice interiors. They harken back to a lot of old classic cars, especially that red. That's one thing that the Challenger does really well, is you can get this almost all red interior. I wish the floors were red too, but you know, you can't have everything. But you can get red floor mats. You get the red door panel inserts that actually go into the plastic. So you get the leather and the cloth padded. And then it goes into the plastic that's all red. Then you get the red center armrest, the red color block on the front of the seats, and then the rest of it's black. That's a good interior. And they did it on the Demon. They did it on the Trackhawk. it's just a nice, I think it's called Demon Red is one of them, and the other one's Radar Red. Hell, FCA even said, well, we don't sell a lot of Pacificas, but we're going to give you this anyways. A Radar Red interior package for that dad who doesn't want to feel like he's driving in a van. Sorry, Dad, you are driving a van, but hey, at least you get a nice bright red with mostly black interior. That's cool. And I wish more automakers would do that. I wish they would take risks. But it's not just – it's not really the automaker's fault. Automakers do a lot of interior colors combinations that would be really cool. One of them being the Jeep Renegade that never actually came to light, but there was this plan to do like a lime green interior with some grays and some blacks. Oh, it was really nice. It was really cool, but it never happened. What we ended up getting was a mostly black interior with either gloss black bezels here and there, bright orange if you get the Upland models, and red if you get the Trailhawk models, silver if you get anything else. But they had this really cool option for a lime green, very similar to what the Dart did, but they didn't do it. And I blame the dealerships, because the dealerships think that nobody wants those interiors, so all they order is black. And they force the market. They force all black interiors down people's throats, and it sucks. So if you're a dealer, if you're a salesman, shame on you. You should be ordering vibrant colored interiors. I don't care how long they sit on your lot. Somebody's going to buy it. Me. And it's not like the world is shy of artists. We have probably millions of people who claim to be artistic in some regard. So please leave those cars on the lot, order some more. I don't want to just come in and have to be like, well, I'm not even going to look at your lot because I know all you have is all black interiors, and then just go and order one. And then they just to tell me, sorry, sir, if you do that, you're going to lose all the discounts and rebates. Joke's on them because I get employee discount. But if I were to take anybody else out there to go buy a vehicle and they wanted those different kind of interiors, they're never going to get it. You know what I didn't even see? I didn't even see that new brown interior that you can get on. It's like a saddle brown interior on the Wrangler. They used to actually do it a lot for the JKs, but I have not seen. I've seen one JL Wrangler four-door with a tan interior, and I've seen one Gladiator with a tan interior. And that Gladiator was sitting in the showroom with every Mopar option, and it was a Sport S. Should have bought that one. But it wasn't stick shift, and I – yeah. So from an artistic perspective, from a designer's perspective, think about color. Black and white can be beautiful, but it's how much you use. And trust me, an all-orange interior would look like shit. Might be interesting to look at, but nobody's going to buy it. So you have to be careful. You have to be clever. You have to be unique with how you use that color. So if you're new to design, if you're new to art, and you're wanting to learn, I highly advise you take a color theory class and learn what works. What works from a psychological standpoint, what works from an emotional connection standpoint, and what works visually. Because there are a lot of times where two colors next to each other clash. They don't work harmoniously, they clash, and that's when you tend to have bad things. So these colorways, which now I'm going to start talking about shoes, these colorways, these color theories are really coming into play in the fashion world with shoes, with backpacks, purses, watches. And I think we need to see a lot more of that attention to color detail and color theory in automotive design. And this is where it's a real shame, because I know interior designers put that on paper. They give the automaker that option, that choice to make. And because market trends from dealerships force all black interiors down people's throats, that's all they end up ordering. So that's all the automaker ends up ordering from their suppliers, Farcia, Lear, so on and so forth. So, sorry, I have something stuck in my tooth. Pay attention to those things. Really put your all into it and know what you're doing with color, because it could break the design, but if you know what you're doing, far more likely to make the design and at least kind of set your mark on the vehicle design itself. But I really like what Volkswagen, Audi, Kia, Hyundai, and a couple other automakers are doing with the exterior color choices. I know Volkswagen is shy from offering 40 plus colors on their Golf here in the United States, but they do in Canada and Europe. But come on, 40 different colors and we only get 5, maybe 6. We're a bigger country. We're going to buy more vehicles. So give us different colors. Anyways, that's Sketchbook Audio for this week. I promise you I'm going to be back next week. A friend of mine smacked me in the back of the head yesterday, gave me a kick to the junk and told me, you got to keep doing this. Even if nobody listens, you got to keep doing it. I'm getting the countdown timer from Instagram Live anyways, and I'm getting a countdown timer from Anchor. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Remember, take a chance, take an opportunity to help support the Australian relief for the fires. And thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Make sure you get out your sketchbooks. I'm drawing one sketch of a car, maybe a couple cars on a piece of paper every single day for the next 300 and however many days left. Be good to each other and happy 2020.